Can we pray, church? God, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for the sun shining. Thank you for the opportunity to come out to worship. We thank you for this place. Thank you for the freedom to express ourselves and give thanks unto you, dear God. Thank you for this pastor and his family. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, dear God. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Amen. Good morning, family life. Good morning. I'm so happy to be here with you guys on this morning. I don't take it for granted to be in worship on a Sunday. There's somebody who was sick and couldn't make it out this morning. There's somebody who passed away over the weekend and couldn't make it out this morning. So I don't take it for granted that I'm here on this morning, and I thank your pastor. Your pastor is so nice. And then I just met his wife. She's nice. And the kids are nice. Everybody's nice. And y'all look nice. And I'm just glad to be here. And I thank God for the opportunity to be here, because it's been a long road over the last 2 years. And you will quickly understand that I am not from around these parts. I'm from the great state of New Jersey. And you will hear it in my voice as I talk. If you don't understand any word that I'm saying, just go with it. It's the East Coast accent, so I'm just going to put that out there right now and ask you for your forgiveness of that. I relocated to Illinois almost 2 years ago now. It was back in 2010, and I had always wanted to relocate, just wasn't sure where, wasn't sure of the timing, wasn't sure how God was going to get me here. I thought I'd be going somewhere warmer, to be honest with you. Good Lord, it's cold out here. I thought I would be okay coming from New Jersey. It's cold out here. I thought, you know, well, we got snow, we got cold, but we ain't got this kind of cold in New Jersey. But we doing all right. So 2 years ago, God presented me with a tremendous job opportunity. I'm an administrative professional by trade. And so I had worked at Verizon Wireless, the nation's number one wireless carrier. Can you hear me now? And I worked for a gentleman. I supported him. He was a vice president. And he got some big old highfalutin promotion out here in Libertyville. And about a year after he was here, he asked me to come out and be his office manager. And I was delighted with the offer. It was a good offer. It was great money. And I packed up me and my 16-year-old daughter, soon-to-be 16-year-old daughter. Pray for me, church. Anybody got teenagers? Yeah. Amen. So she and I are a family, and we packed up, and we moved out to Wadsworth, Illinois. I don't even know what Wadsworth, Illinois is, but I'm going to move there. And she was going to start high school here. And it was just perfect timing. It was the perfect opportunity, and I was so excited. My family, although they were going to miss me terribly, they were excited for me, and they sent me off, and I came, and I started this great job, and everything was going along fine. And 7 months after I got here, they laid me off. Yeah. So anybody who's been a part of this great downturn in our economy and has lost their job, or underemployed, or had to take a pay cut, I know exactly what that feels like. But here I was, 1,000 miles away from home, no family, no friends, and now no job. And I said, God, seriously? Serious? Are you serious with me right now? Because, see, that's how I talk to God. I'm sorry. I got to keep it real with y'all. I talk to him with my fullness of who I am. And God wants us to talk to him in our truth. And I just say, God, what's going on? How am I out here 1,000 miles away from home? I don't have any family. Well, I had an aunt in Chicago. And I soon found out Chicago ain't that close. I thought I would tell everybody, yeah, I'm moving to Chicago. No, I wasn't. I was moving to like about an hour and something away from the city. And I thought I'd be fairly close to her. Found out that wasn't the case. And so basically here I was, me and my daughter, and I felt really alone. I felt abandoned, and I did not have any idea what God was doing. But thank God, his ways are not our ways. And so I just leaned in, because if I want to coach women and train women and teach women to rely on God and to lean into God during the rough times, not just the good times, well, now here was my chance. So I just got still. And I said, okay, God, if I know you like I think I know you, this didn't catch you by surprise. It may have caught me by surprise, but it didn't catch you by surprise. And so you knew this was the plan before I moved out here. And so show me what you want me to do. Let me get real still in this moment. Let me lean into you, and you tell me what's the next step. And it was a scary time. My poor daughter, oh, she said, okay, so we moved out here for you for this job. Now the job's gone. So when we going back? Because she was miserable. Here she was, a freshman in high school. She came from a school with a few hundred kids or 500, whatever. Now she's at school with 4,000 kids. The freshman class was 1,100 kids. And she was ready to go back. And I said to her, I said, Imani is her name. I said, Imani, we're on assignment. I don't know what this assignment's about completely, but we haven't been released from our assignment. So if you can just hang in there with me a little longer, I think God's going to answer me and let me know exactly what we're supposed to do. But in the meantime, we're supposed to do the last thing he told us to do, which was to be here in this area. And the last thing he told me personally to do was to serve his women. And so that's what I had to start doing. So while I put the job thing over to that side, and I let God figure that out, and the finances, and how we were going to eat, and how there was going to be a roof over our head, and how that car I was driving was going to keep getting on the road because it was going to be some gas money somewhere. I let him take care of that, and I focused on what he told me to do. And he told me before I even came to New Jersey about 5 years ago to serve his women and to share my testimony of how God had brought me through some significant situations in my life and dysfunctional relationships and low self-esteem and low self-worth and all that stuff that we deal with as women. Men too, but I'm talking to the women. He told me to just share that, help his women, and serve his women. And so while I was in the midst of this unemployment period, or my downtime, as I like to call it, kind of sounds better to say you're in downtime than unemployed, I said, show me what you want me to do. And so I started volunteering at some local places, and I didn't even know, first of all, where the heck I was. I knew I lived in Wadsworth. I knew there was Waukegan over here, and then there was Gurnee up there, and then there was all these other towns, and Chicago was real far. So I just started looking in the phone book and looking online and just trying to find some places where I could be useful and be productive, because what the enemy wanted me to do was to be depressed. He wanted me to feel alone. He wanted me to feel isolated. He wanted me crying. He wanted me, I kept hearing whispers of, ha, you thought you had something. You thought you were going to something great. Look at you now. And I kept hearing all those kind of voices in my head. And I said, the devil is a lie. I am here because God sent me here. And I am not going to get dismayed. I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm not going to get depressed. And I just come against any of that coming in my house. And I just started to encourage myself and started to speak against those things that were trying to come over me and my life and my home and my daughter. And the more I did that, the stronger I started to get, the better I started to feel about myself. And so I found a couple local charities, organizations, volunteer situations. I did a little something with PADS, went to, I think that's North Chicago, and went to volunteer administratively and help out with some paperwork that they need to organize. And I would just see all the list of the names of the people who had signed in the shelters. And it was a lot of women, a lot of children's names. And I was just helping organize them. And while I did that, I just started praying over the names and just saying, God, give them a place, a permanent place to live at. And I don't even still to this day 100% know why I had to do that work, but I just started praying. When you don't know what else to do, just pray. Sometimes that's all you need to do, and that's all God wants you to do. So I never actually came in contact with any of those names, but I just prayed over them, and I organized them, and I did that for a couple of weeks. And then I found this organization in the phone book called 15 Moms, and I'm pretty sure it was in the phone book. Who uses the phone book anymore? But for some reason, I found them in the phone book. And then I went online. They didn't have a website. We do now. But I found them on Facebook. And so I reached out, and I saw that it was an organization. It was 25 years old. It's our 25th year this year, and it had been started by a woman whose name is Donna Spear. Donna doesn't even live in New Jersey anymore. She lives in Colorado. But she started this organization 25 years ago because she felt God lay it on her heart to help teen moms in the Waukegan area. And so they've been doing this all this time. I reached out to them and said, I just want to come, see what you guys are all about, see if there's any way I can help you out. And they were meeting on Thursday evenings over at the Wesley Church over there on North Lewis Avenue. And they would have a meal with the moms, and the moms would come with their kids. And they were, I don't know, anywhere from 5 to 8 young women. And they had about 30 kids between them. I don't know. It was a lot of kids because they have 3 or 4 or 5 kids sometimes between them. And I just went, and I instantly felt connected to the women. Having been a single mom for 16 years now, I know what that's like. I don't know all of their walk because some of them have some very tragic stories, and I've been blessed. But for the grace of God, go I. I mean, I had my family supporting me. I was much older when I had my daughter. I wasn't a teen mom. But I know what it's like to raise a child on your own. And so instantly connected with the women. And then, lo and behold, first of this year, they asked me to be their program director. Paid.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. It's part-time, but that's okay. And I just knew when that offer got made to me that that was the reason God brought me here. He used another means, but this was the purpose that he had for me in this area. It's why he had me live where he had me live. It's part of the reason why I went through that downtime, because I probably wouldn't have found them necessarily had I not gone through that period, because I was so engrossed in that job and just getting settled, I didn't have time for anything else. I didn't have time to volunteer. I was going to work, get my daughter through high school, and then we'll see about all this other purpose stuff, this vision stuff, this calling stuff that I'll get with all that God in a minute. I need to get my daughter through high school, and I need to, you know, get my money in a certain situation and all. That's not how God works. That's not how he works. His timing is different than our timing, and so we don't always understand it, but just know he's always behind the scenes working on your behalf. That I know, and I know that I know that I know, because it was a tough, tough time in my life, but things are still settling and still getting into place as to where God really, truly needs me to be. I know this is a big part of it, but I know there's so much more. This isn't the end. It's merely the beginning. And so as I took over as part-time program director of this organization, one of the things the president of the board talked about, who's a great woman of Christ, her name is Janet, was that over the years, there hasn't been a lot of accountability with the girls. It just was kind of like a club that they came to on Thursday nights with their children. They ate, you know, they had some kind of life skills training. The Y would come in, or they'd do some different craft type projects, stuff like that. But you had women who were coming through there, had been there for years, but were not really having life change. They were still stuck. They were still broken. They were still hurting. They were still in dysfunctional relationships with men, oftentimes abusive relationships. They were still having more children that they couldn't afford to care for, that they felt like were the state of Illinois' responsibility to care for, and nothing was changing in their lives. They were stuck in a cycle of dependence on social service agencies, and they didn't know what they didn't know. And the board, which is a working board, women that are very involved in the ministry, were frustrated with that. And they didn't quite know how to change this, because it started with just a vision of loving on these women. Just, you know, being Christ-like, showing them love that maybe they didn't have before. And that was a great start. But then there was no accountability, no responsibility. And that wasn't helping the women. That's not loving when you allow someone to just stay in that kind of dysfunction. You don't show them any other way to live. And so one of the things they wanted me to do was to start bringing in those levels of accountability and responsibility. Continue to love on the women. You know, don't talk down to them. We don't do that. Let them know that they're loved and they're valued and they're purposed, and that God has a plan for their lives, even if they can't see it right now. And we wanted more of them making decisions for Christ in their life. And we wanted them to come, you know, as they were exposed to the truth, because the women have been exposed to a lot of lies in their life, and have been through a lot of different situations that caused them to not believe God, to not know about God, to not think that there was any hope in their lives. And so one of the things we started doing was putting in these little measures of accountability, and started with kind of some ground rules and ways that we were going to function on the Thursday nights. And you can't just not show up. You need to call. And just little by little start showing them that this is not a joke. This is your opportunity to change your life. This is a situation that God has destined for you, and that he cared enough about you to send me all the way from New Jersey just for you. And I would always tell them that, because they're not used to hearing those positive kind of messages, and they need that reinforcement and that encouragement. And we started to see some change in a couple of them, but then we also started to see some of them disappear, and that they didn't want to come anymore, or they started acting out in different kinds of ways. And it really dwindled down our numbers from where we started to where we are now. But that showed us that God was clearing the deck. He was making a way for a new thing. And sometimes things have to go this way before they can start going this way. And so I didn't want the volunteers and the board to get discouraged. Wanted them to know God's in this thing with us. He's right there with us. And sometimes some people and some situations have to be removed from your life in order for him to bring the right things in. And that's what we saw to start happening. And so I went to the meeting where your pastor was, because I was starting to get out into the community and meet with churches and leaders, because that's who we rely on for our support, is individuals like yourselves, churches, organizations, businesses. We don't take government money. That's the way it's always been set up. Not that we wouldn't, but only if the government's okay with us talking about Jesus Christ, because that's not going to change, because these girls aren't going to make it without God in their life. And we want them to know that, because we have them, we want them to know that this is a holistic ministry. It's not just a handout. We're not a social service agency, but we want to minister to them holistically, and that includes their spiritual, their physical needs, their emotional needs, and all that kind of stuff. So the government can give us money if they want, but they got to know we are talking about Christ, and that's not going to stop. So I went to this meeting where your pastor was. It was very nice. I got to meet some of the other pastors and all that. And so later on, I said, well, what was that for, God? I mean, they were nice and all, but what was that for? Because I wasn't really sure why God sent me to that meeting. And a few weeks later, a month later, or whatever, I got a call from your pastor. And he said, you know, ever since you spoke, I've just been thinking about this ministry, and it's just been weighing on my heart, and I really believe in what you're trying to do. So first of all, we want to send you a donation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And he sent a donation from the ministers. And then he said, and I want to talk to my leadership, my council, about you guys using our church for your Fit Moms University. And when I was at the church, I talked to your pastor and the other pastors about a vision God laid on me for Fit Moms University. And the reason why we're talking about Fit Moms now as opposed to Fit Teen Moms, because we were finding that the women that were coming to the program, they're not necessarily teens. Sometimes maybe 18, 19, but we're talking 20-year-olds, 25-year-olds. We even have a girl that's almost 30, and they don't know how to mother. They don't know even how to be women because they weren't taught that. They didn't have some of the same role models that many of us have had in our lives that have taught us these things over the years and that we take for granted. And so, you know, we'll talk about housekeeping things or things about being a woman that you need to know. And they look at us very puzzled, like, we don't know what you're talking about. We gave one girl some sheets once, and the fitted sheet that has the elastic in it, she had no idea what that was. She said, what's that? And why does it have that elastic in it? And you take it for granted that they know that that's a fitted sheet, and you put that on first. But, I mean, it gets that minute. It gets that ground level of the kind of information that the women need. And so that made us realize where we needed to start. And so we decided to drop the teen out of the name of the group, although it's officially Fit Teens. That's our, you know, business name. We're advertising one now as Fit Moms because we don't want to exclude the older women. And we're finding that there's a generation of women, young women, that don't have the basic skills to be the women and the mothers that God created them to be. And so that's really our target now. And so we created this idea for Fit Moms University where, so we won't just meet with them on Thursday evenings once a week, because that's not enough. Clearly, it's not enough for them to get the information that they need. But now we'll start every second Saturday of the month from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. here at your church. So your church and you and your congregation and your leadership has made it possible for us to be able now to offer this out to the community and to these women, and we're going to meet with them. We're going to talk about things like self-esteem, self-worth, knowing who you are in Christ, how to care for yourself, how to have a healthy relationship with a gentleman. And I use the term gentleman loosely. But they need to understand how to have a healthy, godly relationship with a gentleman. They don't always understand how to do that. We want to teach them about parenting, about house maintenance, and things like that. And now, because I went to that meeting and met your pastor, and your pastor was obedient to what God was telling him, now we have a place where we can offer this out. And you guys are a part of that because it's your church that's supporting this effort. So can we just give God praise for that? Because that's a big deal to me. So Fit Moms University starts next Saturday. And so we're always interested in volunteers. We always need volunteers, mainly women. But we can use men sometimes too. But we need the girls to have godly examples of women in their life that they can talk to, that won't judge them, We always need people to help us out with their children, so to help provide child care during our meetings and this now second Saturday of every month, because we don't ever want them to have child care be a reason why they can't attend something. So we tell them to bring their children, and we use that time to have the children be our captive audience, because oftentimes that's the only Jesus they ever see, because they don't often go to church. But we're going to change that. So we're going to spend time with them, teaching them about God. So we need help with that. And then we need people who are praying, really praying for these moms and their children and our volunteers and our board members, and definitely me, because the enemy is not happy about this. He wants these girls to stay in the grips of dysfunction and lack and poverty, and we just refuse to let that happen. As long as God's given me this big old mouth, I'm going to use it because it don't cost me a thing. It's the least I can do for all that he's done for me and my daughter. And so I'm just grateful for the different churches that have supported our efforts, that are getting behind Fit Moms. And we want to work with other organizations in the area, because we're not in competition. We all need to work together to address the issues that exist out in the community. And so I know now that I'm here, I'm firmly planted, I am totally dedicated to this organization. I did end up in a full-time job opportunity, which Pastor knows about, which I lost 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. So I think God has shut the door on that. I think I'm supposed to be doing this completely, and that's what I'm going to be focused on until God says to do something else, because I was working full-time for a hospital down in Barrington for about 3 months. But I found out one day, 2 weeks ago, that my one boss was leaving, the one that I did 80% of my work for, and then the next day I found out that they weren't keeping me on. But I've been in that place before. This ain't my first day at the rodeo. So I know that God has me. And now I'm in a whole different position. I am grounded in this community. I am networked in this community. I have this to totally keep me busy. And before you know it, it's going to be a full-time program director. I have no doubts about that. And so if anyone wants more information about what we do or wants to be involved in that, we have a website now, like I mentioned. It's fitmomsillinois.org. So we're up and running virtually, and then I'll be around after service. And then we're here at your church every second Saturday of the month from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. And so we would love to see any of you guys come be a part of the ministry. I don't know. Maybe this is something that's weighing on somebody's heart, is something that they're interested in doing, and always felt the need to give back to a young woman or a child. I don't know, but I know that God's in this thing, and we trust him, and we thank him for the opportunity that he's presented before us. So God bless you. Thank you for this opportunity to speak. I appreciate it, Pastor, so much.
Thank you, April. That's fine.